The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This episode of Beyond is brought to you by Gamefly.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Welcome, everybody, once again to Beyond, episode 512. My name is Max Scoville, and I'm joined by Alana Pierce.
Hello, Max.
And Marty Sliva.
I don't like what's going on right now.
Ryan's not here, so we're being quiet.
This is IGNPR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next big games of the week.
IGN ASMR.
All bunch of games. Anyway, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Playing some games. Whole bunch of games to be playing. We're totally creeping into that part of the year when it's suddenly like, it's not like, oh, I wish there were more games. It's like, I wish there were less games. There's too much stuff to keep up with. And
who's getting there?
It's a good problem.
Andy, we hit it now. Like, with Destiny coming out, we hit it where every week there's at least one, if not more, games I'm very interested in playing. And Some of them are AAA, some of them are indie. But just like looking at what October, November are like, it's terrifying but exciting. Yeah.
So let's just, right off the bat, let's talk about some of the games we're playing.
So I don't want to. Let's talk about something before I talk about Destiny. I want to talk about Destiny, but I feel like we could talk about another game before I talk about Destiny. I don't have a ton more to say about Destiny.
Why don't we never spoke about Destiny ever again?
Okay, so I did the first half of the raid over the weekend, which was really exciting because I got raid ready. And we did the first half of the raid, and I did it with a group of people that had already done the raid before, including Zach Ryan and Terry Schwartz, who've been on this show. And I did the first half of it, and I played for 6 hours straight. And I got through 59% of it, and it is one of my favorite things of the year.
Really?
Yeah
it's so
the
good.
Raids in Destiny 1 are really good, too.
It's right. So, also, like, the narrative conceit of the raid is sort of like Arcade, the X-Men villain.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of like a dude who just, like, is obsessed with hedonism and is really bored. And he's like, okay, you're going to come to my pleasure palace, and I just want to watch you die, but I want to do it in entertaining ways, which I kind of like. I guess he's, like, cross between Arcade and Mojo.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That sounds about right.
I don't know what he looks like yet, so he might not look like...
Oh, you still haven't finished the raid.
Oh, no. We got to the end of the third of five parts,
right?
And then we just couldn't beat it. But there's a stealth section, which you'd think wouldn't be good in a first-person shooter, but actually...
So they have those in Destiny 1 as well, and the stealth section was like... It was a maze that was also a stealth section, and that was like my favorite part of the raid, but also the most frustrating part, because if one person screws up, everyone dies.
Yeah.
So that sucked.
Yeah. It's just also... It, I'm not a big multiplayer guy, which anyone who's watched or listened to the show knows, but it requires so much concise communication that I'd never really get in games, just because playing Persona or Horizon, I'm not communicating with anyone.
See, I kind of hate that, I think. Just the fact that it's having to rely on somebody else. Like, I'm down to jump into like a game of Battlefield 1 and just shoot strangers,
mm-hmm.
but like that level of like coordination, I feel like it's, I don't know, it's like getting the friends. It's like picking a place to eat when you're with a bunch of people. It's like just that much more complicated than being like, all right, it's me and one other person, let's go sit down.
Yeah, but it's not like the raid is six people, but it's not, you don't get paid with randos. Like, you have to come in, you have to roll in with your six.
No, that's what I mean.
Which works.
That sounds like a logistical nightmare.
But I played Destiny 1, the first raid, with people that I found on Reddit.
Yeah.
So it was like people I didn't know at all, but we matched up on Reddit because I like didn't have anyone else to play with at the time that worked for me or whatever.
Yeah.
It was so active that you could just post and be like, hey, anyone free in an hour, and it would work out that way. Mm-hmm. So it's like you don't have to play it with people that you know, but you do have to be able to talk to people. But I think everything else in Destiny 2 or Destiny 1, you don't need to talk to people.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. Just with this, you needed, like, clear communication. There had to be certain people that were, like, certain, like in the stealthy section, there's five people who are down on the ground, and then there are four people who are down on the ground, and two people are up high. And the people who are up high have to call out, like, hey, this dog is over there, or like, hey, you go to the woods or go to the far right now. And so you just need clear and concise communication, which I find really interesting.
I feel like I'm always late to the party with this stuff. Like, for the longest time, I dragged my feet about, like, competitive multiplayer, and then I finally, that hooked me, and I'm like, hey guys, Battlefront, Battlefield 1, you guys want to, and everyone's like, we're doing this thing that requires six people in teamwork, and I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. I'm just over here with random strangers.
Well, definitely more of an investment.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also like when we beat, like, we spent 2.5 hours on the Pleasure Gardens. Also, one of the areas is called the Pleasure Gardens, which is
that
great.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I love pleasure.
Yeah. What about gardens?
They're okay.
You gotta stop doing this weird ASMR night.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of ASMR. So it's been like a weird sleepy Monday here, and I think it's because two of the lights are out in the office.
Well, it was also because.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very dark by my desk. It sucks.
It's all the carbon monoxide. It followed you.
That's true. I had to get tested for carbon monoxide poisoning this morning because there was a gas leak in my apartment.
She had to sleep here one of the nights.
How did they test you for that?
It was a blood test.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You sure it wasn't just somebody who, like, was trying to get your blood?
Well, I went to the hospital. It's like, that. If it were on a street corner, maybe.
Are you sure they weren't just trying to make you leave? Like, they were like, oh, fine.
Well, my alarm definitely went off and said, carbon monoxide detected, please evacuate immediately. Huh. So I evacuated and then slept here.
It's less I mean, you had plans. So it wasn't like you evacuated. You just had to leave.
Yeah, and I didn't even leave that quickly. I got a real bad
headache. That was the thing. You were like, it was going off for an hour, and then we met at the bar. And I'm like, why were you there for an hour? Why didn't you just leave immediately?
I wanted to, like, clean up and stuff in case someone had to come in and get the gas out.
Oh, you don't need to do that. Carbon monoxide actually sterilizes everything. It's great.
Then we ended up drinking all night, and she's like, well, I have a headache, but I don't know if it's because I'm drunk or not.
Yeah.
Great job, guys. Good hustle.
Yeah. Great at being adult.
So some guy on the internet who I don't, he tweeted it's at, like, an unofficial Beyond account and was like, does Max even play games? I feel like he doesn't like them. And that sucked. Yeah. I hate that. Like, I mean, occasionally I'm like, I don't know, negative or critical about
stuff.
Welcome
to my life.
Everybody, I don't know, like everybody, like, I feel like we've all had this before where it's like, do they even play them? Do they like the games? And it's like, yeah, I love games. Occasionally I'm not glued to something.
Sure.
But I figure we could all talk about, like, kind of what we're playing these days and how it hooks you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're playing a bunch of Destiny. Alana, what are you playing these days?
Yeah, literally nothing. So nothing? It's a terrible time to talk about this. My family was visiting, and then my dog died. So I've just, like, not been playing video games. I just haven't been wanting to do anything.
Those are pretty good reasons to not
play
video games.
It's been, like,
2 weeks,
but I did play a little bit of Nier again over the weekend. I'm on my fourth playthrough of Nier now, so I'm still playing through that.
Do you even play Nier?
Like, quite a bit. 60 hours.
I don't think you like that game. You've only played it, like, four times.
And I'm definitely going to start Persona next week.
Do you feel, because you're replaying Nier, do you feel like you're missing out on other stuff that you haven't touched?
So it's because of the frame of mind that I'm in where I want something that's really passive. So it's like, I didn't want to play Destiny over the weekend. I was planning to start it and then didn't because it's like, I just, when I'm by myself at the moment, would like to just play something that I know. And that's exactly what my attitude towards it have been. I've also been playing Horizon as well. Like, I'm still picking that up every now and then because I didn't finish it. So it's been those two, which are things,
like,
I'm familiar
the
with.
The familiarity thing is totally true. Like, when you're down or when you're a little bit depressed or when you're just sad for some reason or another, like, I don't want to venture out into new games. Like, if I do play games, it's something it's comfort food. It's chicken soup.
No,
it's also because I'm not in a state of mind where I can be excited, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just trying to play stuff that's like, this is something I know that will take my mind off the other thing that I don't want to think about, and I'm just, like, kind of getting through it that way. And it's, like, it's helping me a lot. Like, playing Nia has been super helpful because it's, like, otherwise I'll just sit in my apartment and do nothing. So it's, like, it's super helpful.
And then the carbon monoxide comes. No.
And then I have to get out.
Yeah. Under normal circumstances, do you guys feel, like, do you feel guilty as professionals in the games industry for not constantly staying up to date with whatever the next thing is?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I wanted to get at here is that like, it sucks to be, like, I've been playing Yakuza Kiwami still. And I'm just chipping away at it. I think I'm like just over 30 hours into it, and I'm close to the end, but I'm still playing around with the sub stories. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like I love this game. It's possibly going to be my game of the year. And just to have some rando be like, "Oh, you don't even like games?" I'm like, "Yes, I do. I like a really weird, obtuse one."
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
sorry that I don't address that enough. But
well, and it's just weird because our nature, the nature of our jobs is we have to sort of tend like. on a surface level, stay up to date on everything, mm-hmm. on the news and sort of generally what the vibe is around a game. We try to play everything at least a little bit when it comes out. But there's ultimately games like we started talking about Nier late because we didn't start Nier till a month or two ago.
Well, but I also have an attitude towards things like that where I want to fill a gap.
Sure.
So I don't feel as much responsibility to play Destiny when I know so many other people in the office are playing it. So it's like we already have a lot of those perspectives. It's like I still want to play that game, but on a professional level, mm-hmm. I don't feel the guilt for not playing it because everyone's playing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I professionally don't need to. I will just play that for myself. Yeah, whereas Nier was a little different because we had very few people who had played it. So it was also like, I both want to play this, like this, and feel a responsibility to play this come game.
I mean, and it was the same thing with, you guys both played Little Nightmares late. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh my God, this was incredible. Yeah. Like, and that's one of those, it's always a bummer. Like, man, I wish I would have played that
right when it came
out. Well, I started
playing
Tacoma
recently too.
Yeah.
So I've just been playing like a handful of weird stuff lately. But
Yeah.
I mean, I think the flip side to the trying to fill that gap is that if you miss out on the big thing that everyone else is playing, then you feel like you're left out. So
I don't care about that at all.
Really?
I'm like, leave me out. Then I have time to play my own stuff. Like, that doesn't bother me at all.
I'm seeing a weird thing around the office where Destiny is sort of like, it's almost like football. And then it's like, totally. It's kind of replaced Game of Thrones as like the sort of standard issue water cooler talk.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you and Fran and Zach and everyone will kind of gather around and you know, talk about Destiny. Mm-hmm. And
totally
like,
true.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a question from one of our members of our Facebook group, Keith Jennings Stevens, says, what is your light level in Destiny 2?
Before I answer, because I know what my light level is, what's your light level?
You call me fat?
I weigh about 130 pounds. Yeah.
I have good credit, and I'm 200 pounds.
My light level is currently 273. So you level up your character level to 20, which happens pretty naturally, and then light level / power level is gear. I think they call it power is gear. So that is the thing you slowly increase, and to get to the raid you have to be 260. It's recommended to be higher. I was far and away the weakest person on my team with mm-hmm. 270, which only came very readily apparent when we had to get in combat scenarios, and I was like, oh, you're all way overpowered.
Yeah, but don't you have two assault rifles as well?
Yeah, I had two assault rifles. But one's called Origin Story, which I think is a cool name for a gun.
Heard of that, you're right.
No, yeah. Origin Story is a really cool name for a gun.
You get rid of the other one.
I should, but I didn't. We were in the raid. I couldn't.
Yeah, you definitely should have done that before the raid.
Yeah, I was foolish. I think the Destiny 2 thing, though, is it came out at the perfect time in terms of the water cooler talk. I think it came out at the perfect time. I think we're going to start having those conversations splinter off as people are playing Cuphead and Shadow of War and Assassin's Creed and Wolfenstein and Evil Within and Mario and Battlefront and Call of Duty. So I have a feeling that there's always going to be the crazy Fireteam chat boys and girls who will continue to play this and just have it be their life.
Yeah.
Whereas I think
it's
all
definitely
of us
like that with Zelda at the start of the year, where it was like people pulling each other away into rooms and being like, I can't tell anyone else about this.
I mean, that was you.
I just found this thing.
So you.
It's me and Jose and Brendan.
Yeah.
And then it happened with Horizon as well.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to, for a really long time, avoid the Horizon conversation so I wouldn't get spoilers, and because I'm still playing that game, I'm like, I've had two things spoiled from this office, but for the most part, it's been okay.
You know where the hair is not real, natural red.
That would be real weird
Horizon
if you get, like,
oh, gasp.
You get 25 hours in that game, and she's like, oh, man, it's hot in here, and just takes off her wig. You're like, what the?
Aloy,
it was a wig the whole time.
How did it not fall off during any of these dinosaur fights?
She's actually just a pair of shoes. The entire human is a fake body.
Oh, God. It's really upsetting to think about. I don't like that at all. that whole, like, the first-person shooter logic where, like, you're controlling the hand that's holding the gun. There's not actually a body there.
Yeah.
Like, Doom Guy is just like a gun that moves around the world.
Yeah.
Fun fact, speaking of Aloy, Ashley Birch is Chun-Li in Marvel's Capcom Infinite.
Really?
Yeah. Man. Which is the thing I've also been playing. I said I haven't been playing anything. By that, I guess I mean I've been playing a handful of things very casually.
So you're not a fake gamer, girl. You're a liar.
Yeah, I lied.
You lie about it. You play all the games. You just keep it a secret. So one game that everyone has been playing a lot kind of around the office, I actually was sort of – I felt weirdly guilty about this because I've been playing it on Switch. SteamWorld Dig 2 is out today.
It's on Vita as well.
It's on Vita as well. It's on PS4. I imagine it's coming to Xbox One as well, probably PC. These guys are one of those studios that just puts their stuff out on everything. I did like a little silent hurrah. It was very dorky when I found out it was on Vita because, like, it's so perfect for that. It's just perfect, like, portable. Just Metroidvania. It's like Dig Dug, but a Metroidvania, but with, like, a really cool, like, kind of loot. Not loot thing, but like you get dig in the ground, you get gems, and you trade them in for upgrades and stuff.
Yeah, so like a gameplay that's like the risk reward loop.
Yeah, it reminds me a ton of Guacamelee.
Nice.
But without the melee. Huh. It's just a really very kind of very like low impact universe. No. Yeah, it's just a lot of avocados mashed up in a bowl.
Gross.
But no, basically, it's like I didn't play the first one. I thought it was kind of – I didn't like how it looked. And this one, at a glance, I was like, I don't know how I feel
like
about
it. I
don't
like the way
it looks. You get used to it. Like, that's the thing is once you get hooked into the gameplay, then you don't care.
I don't doubt that because it's like the same thing happened to me with Terraria when I saw that. I was like, ugh. And then I played it and I was like, oh.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I mean, Tetris looks stupid. It's about little blocks. Yeah. But then you play it and you're like, oh, something happened inside my brain.
Good Russian tunes. Yeah. I know Brian's also obsessed with the game.
It's super fun.
People seem pretty hot on it.
So, yeah, I highly recommend that. But it's really funny because there's part of me that, like, sees you playing Destiny and I'm like, no, thank you. That seems like a tedious grind. And then I wake up at, like, 7:30 on Saturday and I just sit in bed for 3 hours playing like SteamWorld and I was like, ah, crap, I should get up.
I did the thing.
I got a bunch of rocks and gems. And,
yeah.
But it's super duper fun. Obviously nothing is for everybody, but if you're a fan of Metroidvanias and stuff like that, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Do you get that thing with games when you're super obsessed with them and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've been doing this for 6 hours. Like, what time of day is it? Should I leave? Should I go outside?
Well, that's also...
I pay a ton of attention to that.
Really?
When I'm playing something, I'll be like, oh, I've been playing this for 3 hours. Guess I could play for another 3 hours, but I like totally pay attention to
it, except in VR. I just totally forget. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I need to go to this thing. And I'm like, what is it day? Is it
look
warm?
Look outside and you're confused.
What is today like? And then I like went outside. I'm like, oh, it's still kind of day.
I've never been to your home. Yeah. You have windows?
I have a window, but it looks out into sort of like an enclosed area.
Oh, a light well?
Mine's kind of the same. I can't really see what... I have to crane my neck to see if it's light.
Yeah, I don't know what the weather is. I don't know what time. That's why when I left to meet up with you before we went to the Oktoberfest thing, and I was like, is it warm? Is it good outside? Mm-hmm.
Is it
the day? And it was the warm and the good and the day.
Yeah, it has
been. Part of me like gets seriously jealous of that because I've got windows.
You have a lot of windows.
House. Yeah, and it's always like if I'm sitting inside playing video games and maybe the sun's not in my eyes, if it's nice out, I'm like... I should go outside and play the
world.
That is
actually a good point. I think about the reverse of that, and I'm like, I wish that I had somewhere that I could sit outside that's close by. So I just go to the super nice park that's nearby, but like it's literally the opposite of that. I'm like, oh, I wish I could sit outside in the sun. I guess it's sunny. I don't know. But then I don't think about it when I'm playing something for 12 hours straight.
Yeah. There's that thing, though, with games, and I mean, I want to talk about this in regards to like Destiny and SteamWorld, where it doesn't feel like you're making progress, but you're still playing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is it that, like, what is that hook? Like, what that...
I've wanted to write a feature for a really long time about the idea that people don't actually enjoy playing World of Warcraft. They just get addicted to a sense of accomplishment. And I played a ton of Neverwinter, which is just like basically World of Warcraft inspired by D&D. And it's like, at a certain point, did I enjoy clicking the mouse? Did I actually like doing that? Like, was that fun for me? Probably not. It was just that I was always setting myself goals that I would move towards, and I always wanted the next shiny thing to make myself look cool. And I would really, really love to actually talk to a psychologist about this and be like, what is this feedback loop that makes people put 1,000 hours into Dota? Like, what is that? Is it enjoyment, or is it just like some kind of high you get from a fake accomplishment?
It's the endorphins you get from that sense of accomplishment.
Right, which technically could be counted as enjoyment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is enjoyment?
Right.
But, I mean, it's that stuff. Like,
is Destiny fun? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, and WoW, a big thing with that is it's fun because it's social. So Destiny has the same thing.
But Destiny is also, whereas WoW, the mechanic is literally clicking a mouse. So it's the same mechanic as Excel.
It's a little more than that, but.
I mean, the input method is clicking a mouse, right?
Sure, unless you hotkey, which most people do. But.
Whereas with Destiny, it's ultimately rooted in the mechanics of Halo, which, you know, I think Halo was that game where it was one of the combat lead or one of the main developers said that they created the reason Halo is successful is because of they perfected a 20-second loop. And it's a 20-second feedback loop that feels good. So seeing an enemy, identifying the enemy, firing your gun at the enemy, and the enemy going down feels good.
Yeah.
Like they've perfected that 20 seconds and it's just that forever. And I think the only two games that have done this to me this year are Destiny and Persona. And with Persona, there was an end. I finished Persona. I'm done. I'm probably not going to go back to that game. But I think I'm like, what if the game just didn't end? Like, what if I got done with the year?
That's what, and it was that's just what like Dota and WoW are.
Yeah, and it was just like, well, no, you just
I
go through another year.
A lot of Diablo 2, yeah. And that was the kind of thing where it was just like, at what point do I finish this? At what point do I decide I am done?
Once we finish the raid, which I might do tonight,
you can.
I think I'm going to be done.
Right, but then more content will come back. Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, quitting while you're winning or whatever the expression is. While you're ahead?
Yeah.
But quitting while you're
winning.
Overcoming gambling addiction by Max Scoville. But no, like I've been playing, you know, Yakuza, and it's funny because that's one of those games that's just like full of like just little, like there are numerous casinos in that game. Like they're different. They have like every possible type of like gambling scenario.
Mm-hmm.
They're just scattered all over this map. And there's that sort of feeling of like, even if I 100% of the story and all of the side quests and everything, there's still like a bunch of little pockets of infinite sense of achievement.
Dude, I played so much Gwent in The Witcher 3.
Right?
And that's the thing that, like, the first time I encountered it was like, I have no interest in doing this whatsoever. And then I played a ton of it and was like, why am I doing this? This is, like, such a side part of this game.
Yeah, and then you get that anxiety. It's like the weird sort of Russian nesting doll effect where if you're playing a video game in real life and you're like, I should really go do real life things.
Yeah.
But within Witcher, you're like, I should probably go save the world from the wild hunt.
Yeah.
But I would like to beat this Baron and get his trading card.
Yeah,
you know?
I would do the same thing. Like, I didn't get into Witcher, but in Final Fantasy VIII with Triple Triad, there was that card game inside there.
I remember that song so well.
I was obsessed with it, and I loved it. And then I'd be like, this isn't even the game. What is this? What am I doing?
Triple Triad was really good.
It was really good. I don't know why they don't just release that on iOS. Free to play, iOS.
That'd be pretty
Triple
great.
Triad.
That same song.
In Yakuza, you've got, it's called Mesuking, and it's about sexy thing. Women dressed up as bugs who have to wrestle.
Nice.
And you have to, it's basically rock, paper, scissors, but you get trading cards to go with it and they all have stats. And you
That's
have to,
weird.
You have to go to the arcade and just beat the crap out of these children who are playing. Like, you make the women fight, which is actually more problematic than if you just fought the kids. Those games are messed up and
I'm
great.
I feel like as this is going
you
on.
Had like a tantrum during the sentence.
You have the women are all dressed up like bugs. There's one who's a paper wasp who keeps killing me, but I went back there. I got like a ladybug
costume.
So
do you fight them like as you?
No.
Or do you dress up as a sexy woman?
You have to go to the Sega arcade.
Okay.
In the game, you have to walk to the arcade.
Okay.
And there's a child in like a lab coat there who's like, I'm Professor Mesuking. Would you like to challenge a new opponent? You're like, I will fight against Sachi or whatever. And this little like child comes up to you and then you open up the arcade and it goes, Mesuking! And you're in this like woodland glade and there's a tree stump and these women come out onto it like it's a big wrestling ring and they're supposed to be like woodland fairies, but they're just these sexy bikini ladies who are dressed up like rhinoceros beetles or wasps or whatever.
All right.
And then you do this game of like rock, paper, scissors, but it's got like fighting game like life gauges on it. And so then you do this really arbitrary, heavily stats influenced game of rock, paper, scissors, and then if you win, it shows all these horrifying rhinoceros beetles, and then you get like a trading card. And that's in the game that's about like underworld corruption and intrigue, and there's a story there.
So is that a real thing in Japan? Can I find an arcade and play with the Messy Maybe. Kings?
I think it's a parody of an existing Sega game that's about real bugs, but they decided for Yakuza to make it about women dressed up like the bugs.
Wow.
I don't know.
Amazing. Video games.
Yeah. So I'm like, I should probably play Destiny. I don't want to play Destiny. I'll play this. And then you walk around the world and you find extra trading cards behind dumpsters and stuff.
How weird would it be if that became the game that everyone in the office was talking about? And so you walk in one day and it's like everyone's talking about Mesuking and the weird bug ladies.
It could happen.
Who's dating the trading card?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Gwent in that like it's this just this thing buried within a larger thing that's on its own like sort of weird to...
Yeah.
I wish, Deadly Premonition has trading cards that are just like scattered all through people's houses. So you just kind of go in their house and get a trading card and they're like, what do you get out? Or like people just react to you strangely.
Also imagine if like, I feel like someday Pokemon's just going to become so advanced that they just include the Pokemon trading card game inside of Pokemon. And so that becomes...
That's going
to
take a minute.
And that Pokemon is just going to have the trading card game inside of it.
I think that will not happen.
I think that will happen.
I think I will get a hold
of Jack Nicholson.
I could say this on a PlayStation podcast. Game Freak is... They're lazy. They're riding that wave.
They're Snorlax?
It wasn't until like 2013 that we got a Pokemon game where everything was polygons. They were still running on sprites up until that. And it's like, we could totally have an open world Pokemon game, but
They don't want to do that. I don't know why, but this is also not the right podcast to talk about it. But the reason that I don't think
we'll just
we
replace
would have-
it with the word Monster Rancher and then we can talk about it. Those Monster Rancher developers. Do you remember Monster Rancher?
Yeah.
Do you remember? It was just so weird.
Literally
put in a CD.
When is Monster Hunter World coming out?
Next year?
January.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was December.
Literally a few weeks ago, I think it was the GameScoop guys were coming out of the studio and they were like, I completely forgot about Monster Rancher. I looked over at Damon. I was like, that's really one of the worst things about working here. He's like, what? I'm like, occasionally you have to think about Monster Rancher.
Yeah.
So thanks for reminding me of
and
that.
So you'd have to put in like the Marshall Mathers LP and then all of a sudden you'd get like a new monster to ranch. Anytime you'd put in the CD, you'd get the different monster. You'd
really?
Put in a corn. Yeah, you remember that was the wrong.
No,
the
I don't.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So the whole thing was it's like Pokemon, but the way you get animals is by you open up your PS1, you take out the Monster Rancher disc, and you put in an audio CD.
Yeah.
And depending, I think
it's
on,
like something to do with like a code. Like it's
yeah, like you put
the
in
the way
a
it reads it. Because I'm pretty sure that the same CD would give the same thing.
Yeah.
For everyone.
So you put in a Weezer CD and you get this monster. And you put in a Korn CD and you get this monster.
The Freak on a Leash.
Yes. Yeah. The Leashed Freak.
Yeah.
The Buddy Holly. The Real Slim Shady. No, I just remember Monster Rancher as being like a. One of the many sort of Pokemon things that showed up at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool, though, if you could play Eminem in it.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't do that, but you got things from Eminem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet a lot of people have gotten things from Eminem.
Yeah, you're probably right.
STDs.
Hello there. Would you like to save money and play more video games? Well, let me introduce you to our sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. At Gamefly.com, you pick your favorite games and have them mailed directly to your door. Or mailbox. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. You can try your favorite games before you buy and keep the games as long as you want with no late fees. So if you're stuck on a boss fight or having a really good time, it's not a big deal. You can cancel at any time, and they also offer movie rentals too. Go to gamefly.com/farbeyond and start your free premium 30-day trial today. The premium trial allows you to check out two games and or movies at a time. You can only get this offer, again, by visiting gamefly.com/farbeyond. Now go sign up and start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days right now.
Alana, you wrote an op-ed about this sort of weird beef between PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So basically, for anyone who missed it, the executive producer and VP at Bluehole, who are the indie studio behind PUBG.
Next time I laughed at the term Bluehole. Because that's what they call the buttholes in Avatar.
They don't. They don't have buttholes. They just have those ponytails.
I love how offended you are by that. No, they don't.
Sorry.
Anyway, but they basically released this press release that said they were responding to community concerns about Fortnite. I don't want to quote it incorrectly, but essentially saying that they were like copying the format of PUBG with their Battle Royale mode that is coming out this week. And it was just, to me, completely insane. So they said, you know, it's community concerns. It's also like part of the issue is to do with the fact that it's Epic Games publishing or developing Fortnite, who also obviously own the Unreal Engine, which is what PUBG runs on. So that's a whole thing. But the issues evolved now. Core issue, I think this is like one of the dumbest things they ever could have done, because it's like releasing a press statement being like, hey, this game that is advertising itself as being the same as PUBG, it is the same as PUBG. We're concerned about it. It's just advertising for Fortnite, like unintentionally.
And Fortnite's Battle Royale mode is going to be free.
Yes, and like, PUBG's $30.
And PUBG's $30.
So it's like effectively just advertising Fortnite. Mm-hmm. Doesn't help Bluehole in any way whatsoever. So it's one of the strangest things ever. But then there was an update today where Brendan Green, who is the guy who is PlayerUnknown, released a statement that
sucks
was like,
that he revealed his real name.
Yeah,
he's now quite known. Yeah. It was actually just an interview. It wasn't really a statement. He was just like, yeah, I don't own a Battle Royale. It's inspired by Battle Royale. The only reason that the way that PUBG has the force field that closes in as a circle is because I couldn't figure out how to program the squares like they are in Battle Royale. So it's like, it's literally a straight copy. He said something along the lines of, this kind of thing has existed for as long as people could swing clubs at each other. So it's like, he knows that it's not something that he came up with originally.
But it just so happens that his idea or his game is the one that's the most popular video game on the planet right now.
Right, and it started with he made a mod for Arma and then was hired by the guys at Daybreak for H1Z1, and so he worked on that, and their logic is like, well, this wouldn't exist without H1Z1 because it gave him like the AAA experience, or just more development experience, not technically AAA. So it's like this whole weird loop thing where it's basically like Brendan Green, who created this game, and then the VP of Bluehole releasing totally separate statements. And it's just the whole thing is like, if the issue is with Epic Games and Unreal, why would you not just talk to them about it privately? Why would you send out an email about it? Like the biggest game right now. Why would you publicize this? Because all it does is make you look bad. I just don't understand it at all.
It seems like kind of a fumble.
It's so weird.
I mean, it's also, hey, heads up, if you want to play PUBG and you don't have an Xbox One or a PC, well, Fortnite's out on PS4.
And it's free. Yeah. That's exactly it. It's like they're just advertising something, and I just don't understand. They also like issued a legal threat via the original email, and it's just, how does this help you? Like, they are technically still indie, so it's like maybe they don't have access to good PR, but it's just such a weird thing to do. Like the quote that I used in the article, I think I might have removed it, but is if a dog barks at the moon, nobody really cares. But if the moon barks back, it's the most famous dog in the world. And that's basically what happened here. It's
did
like
you make that quote up.
No. Obviously,
you should have just said you did.
Yes.
And then whoever said it would call you out.
Obviously, a bunch of Battle Royale games were going to come out. They had come out before PUBG, but it's like if you acknowledge one of them, then you just give it the attention. You didn't need to acknowledge them. It's just such a strange...
Yeah, that's something the internet just sucks at in general, is if you don't like something, don't signal boost it. Like, don't give attention to it, because that generally benefits things in this day and age.
I mean, we do that all the time.
Who do you think's the most famous dog on Earth? Clifford?
Probably Air Bud.
Airbud's pretty famous.
Airbud's a very Snoop famous
dog.
Snoop Dogg's pretty famous.
Pretty good one.
Also, isn't he like 90 now? Like, he's getting up there.
Definitely.
There was that
90.
Dog that was on stage at the EA press conference.
Oh, yeah. There was a dog on stage at EA.
Oh, that was Boo or something?
I think that was Boo.
Mr. Boo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Cujo.
Cujo's pretty famous. Anyway, let's get on with this. The Chinese Room, the guys who did Dear Esther and Amnesia, Machine for Pigs, and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, laid off everybody. They are having major financial problems there.
Yeah. Well, they pretty much issued there was also major health problems with sort of the studio heads as well, and they issued a statement that the studio is not shutting down, but they said they've like parted ways with a vast majority of the employees, and in sort of amicable way where they've helped a lot of them find their next job and everything.
Right.
I think this has sort of been going on for a while. And the studio's just sort of going radio silent for a while they figure out what they're going to do next.
Mm.
Like they said, this isn't the end of the studio, but we have to like figure out what the future of this is, which sucks. I mean, A, this is always sad what happens in games, but like B, like they, Dear Esther did pioneer a genre.
I think that was the first walking sim
it was the first.
And I really like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Didn't they say that they're done with walking simulators, or that they're going to try to explore new stuff? Or
they've said that they currently have one project that they're finishing. So they have this one last game that they're going to ship, and I don't know what that game is. But then they're just going to take time off and be like, okay, we've been working for the last 5-7 years, and we've made all these things. What do we do with life now? And sometimes for people, that's not. I mean, video games are such a weird young medium where it's not a thing you do and then you do until you die and then you're done making video games. It's like maybe some people are like, all right, I did this for 10 years. I want to do something else.
Yeah, or get a real job making software for banks or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazon.
Yeah.
No, it's weird to think about that. There is that level of it's this intersection of business and creativity.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see people who, I don't know, worked in movies when they were younger, and then they were like, I need something more stable, more secure. Or, you know, you see people who are in bands. It's really, a friend of mine wound up at like a barbecue at one of the former Misfits drummer's house.
Yeah.
He's just like a regular dude who wound up just getting a desk job basically. And he's like, yeah, I used to drum for the Misfits and now I don't. And you're like, oh, you got stories, but that's about it.
I guess,
you
know?
To think about.
Yeah. So I don't know. Things change. That's a bummer to hear though. I mean,
yeah.
Sounds like it's for the best for everyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it was too brutal. So,
yeah, and I imagine it wasn't. I mean, given those games, I don't think they're like 400 person dev teams. I think it's relatively small. We did a really good. We had a short term show a couple of years ago called Game Changers. I think it was like 2 years ago. We did one on the Chinese Room on how they've sort of pioneered the genre that ended up being Gone Home and Tacoma and Firewatch and a little bit of The Witness and everything. So, also just a PSA, if you haven't played Everybody's Gone to the Rapture,
Is it Everybody's or Everyone's? I think it's Everybody's.
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Yeah. Yeah, it is Everybody's. Play that. It's on PS4.
Also,
came out last year. Very
it
good.
It does have a sprint button.
It has a sprint button, but you need to, it's like a
hold down L2 or something.
Yeah,
it took me a really long time to figure
chugga,
it out.
It, you like
you,
it requires
you accelerate.
It yeah, it's an acceleration button.
Yeah,
that's one of the two games.
It's a really interesting game. Like, after I played Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, I wanted to experience that in real life more than anything else, just to like
the
show.
Rapture?
No.
Walking
just
quickly?
To show up in a town and just everybody's gone.
Oh, yeah.
And just like
that would
figure
be
stuff out.
Horrifying.
And not know why. It is horrifying scary. In the game, too, at yeah. the start. You're like, what? I don't understand any of this.
You keep
like,
thinking spookies are going to happen.
Yeah.
I love stuff where you think it's spooky, but it isn't. It's just like, it's just
gone
eerie.
Home. Yeah. It's definitely eerie. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really beautiful game. You should check that out.
Now, this is a weird episode. We're all very, I don't know, very low energy. If you're mad at this episode, I'm sorry. Go listen to...
You can't be mad at an episode. You can only be mad at the three of us.
Take this CD out of your PlayStation 1 and replace it with the Marshall Mathers LP.
And then you get a different slime.
Yeah, you get a different podcast. Yeah. Lots of bad
there's
words
There's not a
you
ton of
say.
News right now, right? Yeah. Like,
no, I mean, and there's also like, we, Max and I are able to say we played it. We played yep. a bunch of Assassin's Creed Origins. We just can't talk about it yet.
Yep. I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I can say.
I'm also going to be playing, and we'll be playing Danganronpa tomorrow. I'm going to play Echo tomorrow. So there's
the
like,
Dolphin?
Not Echo the Dolphin.
What's Echo?
Echo.
So it's kind of, I think, a horror-ish game where the AI learns from you how to kill you.
Oh, I'm not playing. That sounds horrible.
I'm very interested in it.
All right.
I'm streaming it tomorrow, so we'll see what it's like. But yeah, I think it's PS4, PC.
Don't
only?
You mean you're streaming that today?
Today.
Anyway.
When this podcast goes up.
How do you plan things that
on
are recorded?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Now, I figure we talk about the games that are out today. There are a ton coming out this week. Lots of good stuff. So let's just get down to it. First things first, Fallout 4 Game of the Year Edition drops today. It's Fallout 4 with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like at this point, if money's an issue and you're not super like inclined to be first in line for everything, Bethesda, like clockwork, will put out a Game of the Year edition
Absolutely.
Of their big game.
Yeah.
Which is like was the best way to play Fallout 3 because otherwise you would die and lose your save.
Yeah.
You had to have this extra DLC at the end. Otherwise, you would just at the end of the game, it would just end.
Oh,
you had to have like
yeah, that
I
was,
think it was Point Lookout.
Dude, Bethesda has had like the worst. Like they had the horse armor from yeah. Oblivion, mm-hmm. and then they were like, "Oh, do you want like to keep playing in this massive sandbox game you've built? Well, you've got to buy was it Point Lookout?
I think it was Point Lookout.
I thought it was Broken Steel.
Either it was
anyway,
one of the
one
DLCs
of
or the Game of the Year.
Yeah. Also, their games are frequently kind of wonky at launch, but this will have all the patches and whatnot. So
Fallout
4 Game of the Year.
What's it? The creation thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like that has more players than it's ever had before.
Also, I think they finally got mod support on PS4 for Fallout.
Cool.
Yeah. Like they launched that on Xbox One and then they gradually came over.
Also, if you like Fallout, you should check out Max's episode of Expert Mode.
Oh God, yeah, totally. I did an interview with Josh Sawyer, who's the director of Fallout New Vegas. This is over on
Facebook.com/expert mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't
and
know
it's,
one, no one
it's
told
playlisted.
Me okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Alana did one about Rocket League.
Yeah.
And Brian did one about
all those rabbits.
Mario and rabbits.
I think those are the only ones that are up right now.
Yeah. But we got more of those on the way. That's a really fun series.
Yeah.
IGN's been doing some really cool stuff with Facebook. So
keep and that's awesome because it's sort of they were originally Obsidian was well I guess before they were Obsidian they were doing Fallout 3 which was going to be. Like Fallout 1 and 2, so it wasn't going to be first person, and they got really far along into a Fallout 3 that ended up getting canceled, and then Bethesda did Fallout 3, and then they went back to them and was like, you do this about Vegas.
Yeah, New Vegas is just, it's such a, if you kind of see it from a distance, it doesn't really resonate as being important, you know, but once you kind of get under the hood and really understand what makes like a good RPG, what makes a good Fallout game, and kind of what Bethesda does with their games versus what Obsidian was doing, or... Black Isle, whatever. Yeah. It's. I mean, I wish we could have had a longer interview for that.
Kind of one of my favorite arguments is like, I way prefer Fallout 3 to New Vegas, but some people so strongly feel the other way. It's really polarizing. Yeah. It's interesting. Depends what you like Fallout for.
Yeah.
Like
you,
for
you interviewed, what?
I like it for the Vegas.
Vegas is pretty
Big
cool.
Fan of Vegas.
They do good stuff.
Yeah. I like the Hungover films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about the men who drink too much and then they're in the morning.
They
like,
get the,
shouldn't
they
have
get
done
the
that.
There's a tiger.
Shouldn't
keep,
have done
yeah,
that.
I interviewed Corey from Psyonix for Rocket League.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have more of those videos coming. They're awesome. And they're on Facebook. They launch on Facebook and then they're on IGN.com a week later. And then 2 weeks later, I think they're on all other platforms. And we have had some criticism. Like people are like, you sold out. But it's like, it's actually that this video series is really good. And it's like one of the best videos that I've worked on at IGN.
And they're very expensive to shoot. Because
That's
we
the
bring
thing.
A
it's
giant
like,
crew.
It's,
and
it's,
so
it's
we
like we looked
use gold cameras.
We looked at it as an opportunity to have someone else pay for us to make something cool that we straight up couldn't afford otherwise. So it's like without this deal, this awesome content couldn't exist.
Right.
So it's like I'm totally for it.
Anyway, Rocket League, very cool game. There's a game coming out this week It's called FIFA 18. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like Rocket League.
Yeah.
But instead of little cars, there are human beings who have to move like a much smaller ball.
It's basically the human version of
Rocket League. You play as the feet. And you move the ball towards these large nets to capture it because it's a huge.
There's a lot of. There's always.
The ball's a little bit smaller as well. It's it's interesting.
There's a lot of debate over what's the best FIFA. I know there's a lot of FIFA 9 fans. Just FIFA 6, which I guess in England it came out as FIFA 6 and it came out as FIFA 3 here, which is really confusing.
So it's like the Final Fantasy of soccer.
It is.
Football
That's
games.
The joke I'm making.
Is it?
There's no FIFA 3.
I don't know. I just.
This
is
the 18th
listen
FIFA.
You're bad at talking about FIFA.
I still
FIFA.
Have like FIFA 8 or something on N64.
Yeah.
I still have that cartridge. I'm very curious to see
There's
what that
no way you have FIFA 8. FIFA 8, what?
It was released in 1908.
Yeah. 1908.
No, that can't be. That's impossible. Video games weren't. There wasn't even cars.
Well,
it was
think
just
it was,
a soccer ball.
Might be
that
98.
Said FIFA
I really
it's
don't
probably
remember.
98.
I really don't remember.
Anyway,
did you know they call it footy over there?
Footsers?
Footy.
We call it soccer in Australia.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Wait.
It's soccer in Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then why doesn't England just get on board?
Actually, over there they call it Dragon Quest. Anyway,
soccer warrior.
If you're a fan of FIFA, you probably know what FIFA is, and I apologize. SteamWorld Dig 2, that is also out on Vita. Go. Dust that thing off. Did I write that?
I definitely didn't.
I did not write that.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry for writing dust that thing
off. If I don't know Vita, what thing should I dust off?
So yeah, SteamWorld 2 is on Vita and PS4. Honestly, just dust your PS4. It's probably got some gross stuff on it, so dust that off. That game's super fun. It's just a really good little Metroidvania digging holes in the ground kind of game. I don't know if that's a genre, digging holes in the ground.
There's a Metroidvania coming out that's supposedly going to be really good that's a late tie-in with The Mummy movie, and it's called The Mummy Demastered, and it's by WayForward.
Yep.
So it's by WayForward, who's an incredible developer, and it's this like 16-bit, super gorgeous, pixelated Metroidvania where you play as like a soldier trying to kill the mummy, and it looks awesome. Like, it legitimately looks awesome.
Yep. WayForward regularly has really good games based on kind of weird tie-ins.
Yeah.
They did a Thor movie, the game or whatever,
yeah,
for DS that was gorgeous because it looked like a Super Nintendo game, but it used both screens. Stop making that face.
I'm just very confused.
Why? Made Aliens Infestation came out right in the wake of Colonial Marines. Everyone was mad at that, but Infestation is like Super Metroid with Colonial Marines.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I thought you were going to say it came out in the wake of colonialization. I was like, ooh,
yeah,
that's
interesting.
Inaccurate.
Too soon. Danganronpa Volume 3.
Andrew,
we will have a let's play of that up on Thursday. On youtube.com/IGNBeyond, but that's also on Vita. So it's like this thing you got SteamWorld Dig 2 and
several Vita games.
That's super cool.
Yeah, there's also a game about a koi pond that is out for Vita.
Cool.
That's nice.
With fish.
I like koi ponds.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah,
it's probably called like Koi Story Bro or something.
Yeah.
Did you ever
play that fish dating sim called Coitus?
Oh. Anyway. Hato full koi friend. All right. So one game I played a bunch of today is called Ruiner.
Yeah.
This is from Devolver Digital's putting it out. This is, in a nutshell, it is heavy, heavy cyberpunk sort of Hotline Miami style twin stick shooter. A little bit dungeon crawly in how it feels. It's gorgeous, and it's got some of my favorite representation of cyberpunk in video games I've seen in a while. I'm like really fussy about this, but it's like the perfect balance of like Akira, Ghost in the Shell, William Gibson, Neal Stephenson, and then like a tiny bit of like Shadowrun in there.
That's cool.
But it's just wonderfully, wonderfully gorgeously designed.
You had a giant grin on your face as you were playing this.
I mean, walking past it looked cool.
Yeah, it gets really hard, like unfair hard,
like Hotline Miami hard.
I would say it's got the same kind of like, oh, it just spits you back out.
And is it bite size? Is it like Hotline Miami? Like, in theory, every level is like 20 seconds long. It's like super hot.
In that sense, I wish that it was more, it was shorter.
Yeah.
I get the sense this is a much longer game. Damon's got his review up on the site. He wasn't wild about it because basically it's just not fun the first time through. But then once you unlock a bunch of stuff, then you can like revisit levels. And the whole thing gives you like, you know, S rank or A rank or whatever, depending on how you're doing. But there's like I love this game. And then I get 2 hours in and there's this boss fight that just was like not fun, unfair, just kind of really just like cheap shot stuff. So I don't know if they'll patch it or what. But
Speaking of Hotline Miami, there was a Kickstarter announced, I think, this morning for another one of their, I think they're 7-inch action figures. for Hotline Miami. So if that's a thing you're interested in, because I've been like paying attention every single one of those days released, it comes with like two separate masks and like a bunch of different weapons and stuff. So I think it has a goal of 75,000. So hopefully they make that. But if that's a thing you're interested in, yeah.
Oh,
they just keep making them on Kickstarter. Yeah.
Smaller company doing it.
They're really cool. Like they're well designed and the modeling is actually pretty impressive. So if you like Hotline Miami,
someone
check that out.
I don't know if it was you or Matt or Zach or Brian, but they texted that picture of the Beat action figure from Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, there's one awesome Japanese company. I forget. There's like a whole line. They did. I think the Virtua Fighter ones that were all like low poly.
Yeah,
sort of not cell shaded, but just clunky looking. And then they've got one of the dude from Jet Set Radio.
Been asking Swery to make a Deadly Premonition action figure for so long. Like I tweeted it at him like 5 times in a row, and he's like, sure. And then it just never happens. I'm like, you just want Agent York, goddamn it.
I'm making a game where you get drunk in the woods and become a cat.
He's also making a board game version of Deadly Premonition. I just want an action figure.
Swery is by definition a very weird dude.
Follow him on Instagram, because that dude just drinks beer and he posts pictures of every beer he drinks. And he says, drink king.
So I interviewed Swery about Deadly Premonition when it came to PS3 for like the director's cut or whatever. And he took selfies with everybody in the studio. Like he went around and
retweeted my sandwich.
Okay, it was a Deadly Premonition sandwich.
But it's still just a sandwich photo that he retweeted.
He's a strange man.
He's so cool.
He's got that monkey he travels with.
Anyway, what?
He has a stuffed monkey that he travels with, and he takes pictures with it. And he's like, drinking with my monkey, and there's a stuffed monkey, and he's drinking a beer.
Dude. Anyway, great. There's another game coming out this week called Hob. Yeah. I've been kind of tracking this for a while. This is the studio, I think, Runic, that did the Torchlight games, which I always loved, but I don't really like that type of game.
Yeah.
Hob looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, we played it a bunch at various PAXs, and it's a sort of a top-down isometric action puzzle platformer. Sort of feels a little bit like Zelda, but you're running around these environments and like rebuilding the world. Like the world is almost like mechanical in nature, and so you do stuff on the surface of the world, and then you go down into these dungeons and like find out how to get the machine back on, and then when you get back up top, like the world has changed.
That's cool.
Really cool, really interesting action RPG mechanics, super gorgeous. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think we have this Leif. I was gonna review this too, but we got it late. And so Leif Johnson's reviewing this, but
this
is
one of those games that I feel like almost by the time it's out, people are sort of like not over it, but it's that, like, it doesn't make a bang. It's kind of like a dull roar. As it's the same problem you have with like early access games where people have been sort of talking about them for a while, and then finally it's like, it's out. Hello? Like, where'd you guys go?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because that's also, this isn't a PlayStation game, but like Cuphead comes out at the end of the week. And that's like totally one of those like, man, I have seen you for so very long. Like,
I am excited about
that. I'm excited for it too.
But the fact that they aren't giving out codes early is making me like, ooh, is this game a 7? And y'all are worried about people realizing that it's a 7 because there's so much hype behind it?
Yeah, hype is the mind killer. It's Frank Herbert.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Frank Herbert did not write that.
No,
hype is the mind killer.
It was Gumby.
Gandhi.
Yeah,
I do also love Gumby.
That's
a and his pals Pokey,
Mahatma Gumby.
Do you guys not know what Gumby is?
What are you? Are you?
I literally just said with his pals Pokey, Prickle, and Goo.
Goo is great. Those blockheads always ruining things and then jumping through books. I used to watch so much Gumby.
I watched a ton of Gumby.
It was great.
I watched a ton of Gumby. I watched Davy and Goliath. I watched the gnome show, David and the Gnomes. I used to get sick. I was sick a lot as a child.
I'm just like, I'm mentally just tracking all the people who are upset about this episode for being all over the place.
I was
weird.
So sick as a child very often that I would watch all these shows, and then only as an adult that I realized a bunch of them were religious. Gumby's religious.
Is it?
David the Gnomes are religious.
Oh, Gumby is totally religious. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
There's like a flying blue woman.
Yeah.
How?
Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible? That's
she's quite prominent.
Mary.
All right. Speaking of stuff that sounds like Gumby, Gundam Versus is out.
Gumby wing.
We talked last week about how there aren't enough mech games. This apparently showed up to prove me wrong.
Spoke about mech games without me?
Yeah. There are 90 different mobile suits in this game, and they all fly around and make a whole bunch of noise and crash into each other. This is, I wish we'd get like a sort of a more grounded Gundam game, but they've always been like kind of just like sort of manic and in your face. This one, I think, was based on an arcade game, but basically it's a fighting game that has a 90-character roster, effectively.
Wait, a fighting game?
Sort of. It's like one of those 3D kind of like...
Okay, basically like, what they usually are.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So it's sort
I just want a big single-player Gundam game.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And I also want
Ahmed Cole.
Well, and I want it to have... I want it to be a dating sim when I'm the human,
so it's,
and I want it to be a...
So it's Evangelion.
And then I wanted to be, yeah, I mean, that's what I want, that's what you wanted even.
I want like Titanfall 2, but instead of the robot talking to you, it's just like Bright Noah shows up and just slaps Amuro upside the head. Yeah. Get the robot.
Yeah.
Get the robot. Just slapping that. And then you get Haro on the ball that wakes you up.
Shout out to Zach, who last week predicted that Left Alive was going to be a part of the Front Mission series because they announced later that week that Left Alive is in the Front Mission universe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also, that game looks very, very Metal Gear-y.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you haven't, we talked about Left Alive, announced at TGS.
It looks
really cool. Check it out.
Little smidge of gameplay. Looks cool.
I think maybe if you're going to show that little gameplay, just hold off.
Either don't or show more. It was a real smudge.
Yeah, so Gundam Versus looks pretty cool. There's no 8th MS team or 0080 suits in there, which is nonsense, and I don't like it one bit.
D-O-C.
Probably. They actually have a ton of DLC.
Well, is Death Scythe going to be there? Is Heavy Arms?
Oh, yeah. They got all those stupid Backstreet Boy Gundams.
Hero Yui. Oh, my God. They're totally.
They're 100% the Backstreet Boys.
I love them. Yeah. Zex Marquee.
Yeah. He's Howie. Anyway.
I just really want this Evangelion Gundam fighting game bus dating simulator.
I know, right?
Damn it.
Yeah.
I would love a Evangelion game that isn't for N64, a pachinko machine,
or a $20,000 4D game that you can only play in Japan.
Speaking of Japanese things, Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash is out this week.
Nice.
This is, I believe, the first competitive wet t-shirt shooting game.
Wet t-shirt shooting.
It's a third-person shooting game. It's vaguely Splatoon-like because you've all got water guns. You go around and there's these women and they wear the breasts are out there and you just shoot them with the water and they get jumping all over the place.
Yeah. Cool.
Do they have weekly splat fests?
I'm sure that some
mayo
of the people.
Or ketchup?
I'm sure there's going to be daily splat fest
gross.
With this one. Do you guys remember? I brought home one of those Senran Kagura games that I'd had like a fake press event at my house. Do you remember that? I put it on. I was like, you guys, excuse me, I've gathered you here on other false pretenses, and I like put it on the TV, and you were just like, Max, what are you doing? And I was like, Senran Kagura Estevelle Versus Volume 2 is back again, and those ninja women are here, and they're randier
than ever.
I did
that for 1-2 Switch, but
yeah. But you didn't trick everybody.
I didn't. No.
The Senran Kagura games are weird because I think they're like actually pretty solid. They just happen to be like cheesecake is all hell, and there's like delicious. Little booby anime ladies. Not nice. Delicious, no.
Delicious.
Yeah. Delicious. Now it's time for not what VR playing, but VRbage Day, which is when we talk about a bunch of VR stuff that's coming out. Just put it in a big pile out right. front of the curb.
Oh, because you didn't play these.
There is a game that is coming out for PSVR this week that I really, really want to play. It's called Vrog. It's a game about being a frog in VR.
Nice.
It's spelled VROG, like frog, but with VR at the front.
What do you do as a frog?
You're a frog.
Okay.
I think you jump around, you eat flies, you do all the frog stuff.
That sounds great.
Also
kind of sickening.
Maybe. I feel like VR hopping would be very nauseating. How come they haven't made Jumping Flash yet in VR? Because people would throw up?
Probably because they're afraid of a cease and desist from the Rolling Stones, who wrote Jumping Jack Flash. And that's why they didn't.
I feel like that's maybe not it.
That's not true. I don't know why. I can't tell you. Another game called Light Tracer, which if you look at the key art for it, it looks like a very kind of more cheesecakey anime stuff.
And cheers,
I'm calling things cheesecake.
What do you want me to call it? Fan service-y? I don't know.
Like, oh, is that what you... I don't call it like carrot cake. You can talk about carrot cake. Brian's not here.
That means
cake.
A different thing. Anyway.
Kakarot.
Good God. this looks like it. I thought it was going to be like a kind of a dating simmy, like cutesy anime girl type of thing, but it actually looks kind of interesting. It's this is Light Tracer once again. It's a puzzle platformer where you've got this sort of like your head is the camera. You're sort of basically this godlike entity, and you're using with one move controller, you're moving the level around, sort of a la Fez almost.
That's cool.
And then the other one, you're guiding this girl through these big kind of mazes and stuff. So it's an interesting. It's one of those things that could go either way. It could either be infuriating and sickening, or it could be like really, really cool and use of VR.
I'm really excited for the two PSVR games we talked about last week, the Neko Atsume one and the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale music singing game. That's whatever that is.
Which I think is going to be disappointing. I think it's just going to be weird musical numbers that you're front row for.
But again, if I can hang out in VR with Parappa the Rapping Dog, then I'll be happy.
Wow, I'm surprised you didn't say Neko Atsume, which is what most people would say, but that's fine.
I said that was the first one you mentioned. Nekuatsume VR.
The one that you went to was I can't wait to know Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah.
You actually said Parappa the Rapping Dog, which is.
You also did.
His full name.
Yeah. it's his Christian name.
Good Lord. there's another game coming out for PSVR called.
What's going on? What is this game called? When I look at it, it hurts my eyes.
Duver. It's called DWVR.
Duver.
Oh, which, it's not DVVR?
No.
DVVVR?
Duver.
So I don't know what it actually stands for. I looked around. I think it's probably like Dungeon Warrior VR, but basically it's like a shooting gallery type of thing where you can kill the skeletons and the men using everything from guns to spells and all sorts of stuff in between. It's just, we're getting a lot of these kind of these games that are out for Steam and Oculus, and they're showing up on PSVR. What's worth noting is I think this is still in early access on Steam, so if you're looking for like a full-fledged VR experience, this may not be it.
I do really love spell-fighting games in VR, though. That is really fun.
Have you played Vrog, though?
I haven't.
It's the ultimate VR frog simulator.
Have you ever drank Grog?
Yeah, I have.
Pirate Boost? No, you haven't.
Wait.
We're not talking about GR. We're talking about
Pirate
VR.
Pirate Boost?
Grog. Yeah.
Oh, in Australia, we just call every alcohol Grog.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of do that here. This place.
Still, like, go to the Grog shop.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
What I'm looking at.
Good God. Do you guys want to talk about anything else before we go read the comments and they're mad at us?
No one's going to be mad at us.
I think they're going to be mad at us. I'm always scared of that.
Great.
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah? You think so?
Yeah. I think people are more likely to be mad at you if you like draw the negativity to the madness.
Okay.
If we just have a good time. I was going to like derail this even further and ask you if we could have a Bob Ross, is that his name? The painting guy?
Yes.
You want to have a Bob Ross painting party someday where like we just like watch Bob Ross and I'll try and paint the thing together?
I went to a bar that had him on. It was great, but there were no paints nearby, so I couldn't. I was just like,
that would be super cool.
Supposed to be on a date, but I was just looking at the TV because I wanted.
I'm really bad at painting.
But it's fun. I'm also bad at painting.
What are you talking about? You are both very good artists.
No, I'm bad at painting.
No, you're
good
fine.
At coloring.
You're fine at painting. You're fine.
At painting.
You're fine at painting. You're good at painting. You're good at painting.
Thanks.
Marty probably sucks at painting.
Oh yeah,
painting
real bad.
Is fun.
His handwriting is a nightmare.
Oh, it's very real trash heat.
I would love it if there were later seasons of Bob Ross where he's just like painting like Frank Frazetta stuff. He's like, oh, the skeleton warriors are here. I'm just going to draw a terrifying little harpy up here.
It's mostly landscapes, right?
Yeah. It's always like very like kind of generic vanilla stuff, but yeah. I'd love it if he just like, it's like, you got to watch the later seasons when he gets weird.
That'd be weird if it started becoming like hellscapes. Got to put the death spire right here.
Just to lay a little happy little lake of fire right here. yeah. I'm trying to think what's good, guys? Like, what's going on?
We saw Mother last weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's not good.
You didn't like
it? We didn't like it. Brian liked it a lot.
Wait, really?
It's Brian's favorite movie of the year.
Are you serious?
It's not his favorite. It's
he said it's his favorite movie. His favorite single movie of the year.
How?
I don't know.
The divisive movies. Are you guys watching The Deuce?
I don't know.
I watched episode one of The Deuce.
The Deuce is a good show. It's on HBO right now. If you're looking for something on Sunday nights to watch where people may or may not have sex.
Ooh.
Game of Thrones isn't on. It's a good show. It's about like 70s porn industry. And it makes me really, really want a GTA in the 70s because we've gotten.
I want a GTA in the 70s.
Yeah. I think someday we'll. I mean, there was that one that was like London 69 or whatever. And then there was. I mean, Mafia 3 kind of did that. But I feel like it's doing something that properly.
I would actually
like,
be pretty stoked if the next GTA wasn't modern day.
Oh, what do you guys think? So obviously we're recording this on Monday, but on Thursday morning we're gonna have a bunch of Red Dead news.
Yeah,
in theory,
Red Dead Redemption Battle Royale.
That's what the multiplayer is.
It's just the whole game.
Bunch of cowboys. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah,
I think Red Dead Online will 100% ship with a battle royale mode.
Oh well, GTA has it now too. Like, absolutely. And it makes perfect sense for them to do that because it's that system works so well for it. Like, GTA Online was so good.
Do you think we can get a release date?
Rockstar's so unpredictable. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, we're going to get a look at gameplay, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what's going to be.
The second time we got a look at GTA 5, it was like, oh, this is what the game is.
Yeah.
I still like.
Well, that was the trailer with the lady speaking over the top. It was like, here are these three characters you can jump to. Yeah.
Which was so nice. It was so like just clear cut.
I was like, refreshing. Oh, thank you.
I mean, it made our jobs irrelevant, but whatever. no, I still remember like the first preview event I went for GTA 5 and just like seeing that game in action and being like, I don't know where the bottom is, you know? And like, honestly, like that game still just blows
doesn't
my
have
mind.
A bottom with
GTA Online. Yeah, it keeps going. I watched Repo Man this weekend, which is a wonderful old weird 80s movie that has so much GTA 5 in its DNA. Like, there's so much similar stuff in there that is like not usually cited. People are always like, oh, it's like a Heat or it's like Drive or, you know, whatever, you know, it's got, I don't know, themes from modern action movies and everything. But Repo Man is like, I mean, it's about a dude who's repossessing cars, but the whole like kind of Franklin's early story arc where it's like, hey, here's a guy who's going to teach you how to steal cars on the level. It's a legitimate way of doing it. And you're like, maybe it isn't. And then there's all this other weirdness and just kind of general LA strangeness going
on. GTA 5 is so good.
Yeah, I love that game.
I know, I need to play it. I need to play
you're
it.
You're never going to play it.
You don't know that?
As insane as it is to be like, oh, this is, I think it's like the fourth best-selling game in history.
Yeah.
I still think that game is underrated. Like, I think the people who are like, oh, I don't know, it's whatever.
I actually, I think that the main campaign is incredibly good. And I think that part is undersold. Like, obviously people love it for being a really rich open world where you can do whatever you want with tons of freedom. But I think, like, the narrative is really good.
So smart.
It's like,
yeah.
People don't talk about that part of it very much. Like, I had to do this thing on HuffPost Live that was me and, like, four other women. And it was a discussion about whether GTA 5 was sexist because you can kill hookers and steal their money. And I was the only one that was like, I'm very for this game. I like this game a lot. None of them had played it. It was like one of the most frustrating things I'd ever had to do. They're like, if you can kill hookers, I'm not playing. I was like, I'm like, why aren't there any women in it? It's a story about masculinity. It's a very good story about masculinity. Like, it's... such a good game.
Yeah. I haven't played it because you can kill the hookers. I was actually one of the people on that panel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was when we met.
I shouldn't have gendered you. That's my bad.
Yeah, there's actually another movie if we're doing this. I wanted to talk about this. I was gonna this movie called Sorcerer that's William Friedkin, who did French Connection and The Exorcist, and this was right after I think he did The Exorcist. They were like, all right, you can do whatever you want. You're great at making films. What would you like to do? And he's like, I want to remake this French movie called The Wages of Fear, and it's about these three criminals who have to team up and move a truck full of nitroglycerin through the jungle.
Yeah.
And it's like weird because it's got this, if it's possible for a movie to have mechanics in it, that's totally what it seems like, because you've got these three dudes who are kind of trying to accomplish different things, teaming up to
each have like a unique set of skills and everything.
Just one terrifying escort mission.
Yeah.
That totally is a thing. Yeah. What was the movie that we saw together? Kubo?
Kubo and the Two Strings. Yeah. That felt like a game.
Absolutely a video game made into a movie, like without being it's just like
bosses and
boss fights and levels and it's just the way that it grows is like so video gamey. It's interesting.
It's interesting how I think we're going to see more and more of that just in terms of how more filmmakers are actually like playing games and trying.
I mean, Snowpiercer ostensibly has that.
Yeah,
that's he goes through the train.
My favorite BioShock movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, so go check those out if you haven't. All those movies we just named.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to go do rapid fire over on our YouTube channel,
which is youtube.com/IGNBeyond, mm-hmm. where we post the full episode every Tuesday. We post Let's Plays
every
Thursday, and Saturday morning we post a special extended edition of Rapid Fire, which is like Saturday morning cartoons, but for broken.
It's basically,
kids.
Like an excuse for us to be able to talk about whatever we want to that isn't tied to a PlayStation podcast because. The drop rate showed that people stopped listening when we get to Rapid Fire.
Yeah, really?
PlayStation podcast.
Okay, so that's actually a good reason.
I should have given you like the rundown of the reason why we're doing it. It's because there's a drop in listening, and it's like, well, if people really want to hear the off-topic banter stuff, then they can just go to the YouTube channel to hear it. But a lot of people just want a PlayStation podcast, so it's like we're catering to those people.
That way, we're able to do more of a real show, and then
we also
more
it's just
of
more
Rapid
content,
Fire, and then the show growing allows us to do Let's Plays and other weird things.
Yeah,
cool.
And the Let's Plays are doing super well too. Like, the more people watch them, the more we get to make them, because there totally is a risk that if they don't view well enough, then managers will be like, "Can't do those anymore." But they're super fun.
Those are things that take up a ton. It takes up over an hour of multiple times.
No,
and then you're editing it.
They take like 4 hours. They take longer than the podcast. So it's like they take a long time, but I'm really happy with the way they're turning out. They're a lot of fun. The last one was Final Fantasy IX, which, for the record, I don't know if we spoke about it, is a really good remake.
Yeah.
It's great. It's on PS4 now.
Second best Final Fantasy game.
So if you haven't already, head over to youtube.com/IGNBeyond and click the subscribe button. And you don't have to watch every video, but it helps us out if you do. It's very nice of you to do that. Thank you for explaining that it's a drop rate. I didn't actually know that. You just were like, we're doing this now. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So on that note, you can find us on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Alana's Charlanazard. And Marty is McBiggity. With two G's and two T's.
I'm going to add one someday.
And two slices of cheese.
And I'm going to add
cheese.
A third Y. Aww. You say, aw, cheese?
Yeah, slathered with mayonnaise.
Oh, gross.
These are all things I like.
Anyway, thanks for listening. And we'll see you guys next week, hopefully, with more energy. Because they'll fix those goddamn lights.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.